Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Prepare yourself for nonstop hilarity. The funniest 15 minutes of your life or any other. Senator Obama, the microphone is all yours.
Contrary to the rumors that you've heard, I was not born in a manger. I was actually born on Krypton and sent here by my father, Jor-El, to save the planet Earth.
That's the immediate cry of the gospel, not who's married to whom, or who is adopting children and who shouldn't, who is serving as a bishop in the church.
Well, when I was growing up, I must admit I was fairly naive on this subject. I was taught simply by my Sunday school teachers, my parents, my pastor, in Bible study, even in school, the product of parochial schools, that when you open up Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3, you're reading an actual account of what really took place, a blow-by-blow account, repeated at some point, but a blow-by-blow account of what God did in the first 7 days of the universe. And I read it as a plain and simple account. I still do. Now, the naivete has gone away permanently because what I've realized, especially over the last couple of years, that many people who would otherwise affirm the authority of Scripture, Christians, in some form or another, do not believe that we are created in God's image. At least, they may say they believe we're created in God's image, but they buy into ideas like evolution, which most definitely teaches we're not created in God's image, but the image of some previous species, which was then created in the image of some previous species. And if you're talking evolution, the word creation really doesn't fit. Now, does it? We're going to talk about whether it matters or not, whether you believe in evolution. Dr. Nathan Jastrom is our guest for the first 10 minutes of this hour of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. A little later in the program, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be our guest. You've been listening this week. You've heard parts 1 and 2 of our series with him on answering the objections of unbelievers. Today, part 3, answering the objection that Christianity is too narrow, too exclusive. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be our guest. Dr. Nathan Jastrom is professor and chairman of the Department of Theology at Concordia University, Wisconsin. He's author of an article in the recent edition of Higher Things magazine titled A Tale of Two Fish. Dr. Jastrom, welcome back.
It's nice to be talking with you.
What do you think when you're driving down the freeway and on the bumper of the car in front of you, you see a Jesus fish being pursued by perhaps a Darwin fish with its little legs, and maybe the Darwin fish is eating the Jesus fish? What do you think when you see that?
Well, the first thought that goes through my mind is that somebody's trying to make fun of my faith, and that's never pleasant to understand that people go out of their way to make fun of your faith. But the next thought that comes to me immediately is that there's a real war going on for the mind of the common people. As you said in your introductory remarks, many, many people have grown up thinking that God created the world, and they read the Bible, and that's just part of who they are. They don't think that that's such a strange idea. But there is a real war going on to shift the thinking of our common people so that now instead of thinking that's normal, they think it's normal that everything developed from some single-celled living organism just billions of years ago. So that cultural war that's going on comes directly to focus.
Okay, does it matter whether someone, a Christian or otherwise, believes in evolution, believes the tale of evolution?
I think it makes a tremendous difference with how you're going to live your entire life, what you think life is all about. As some evolutionists have rightly figured out, if we are a product of chance, then it doesn't really matter whether we live or die. It doesn't really matter how we live. It's just a matter of chance anyway. There's no God to tell you to do this or that. You do whatever you need to survive, and if you just rather not live any longer, you take away your life. And we can see these ideas becoming more normal to the point where some states even allow people to take their life when they no longer think it's worth living. The idea that God might be in control of these things or have some authority on these questions has become less commonly acknowledged.
Do you think that the Christians, then, in this case, who believe evolution's tale, have thought the consequences of their belief through?
Almost certainly they have not thought the consequences through, or they think they have a hope, they have a faith that these two systems of thought can be merged. Most of the scholars who study this question, the scholars who look at the Bible, realize that the Bible actually does teach a creation by God. And the main question with them is, do we believe it or don't we believe it? And many of them are saying, no, we don't believe it. It's just a mistake that people made in previous years. But it's mainly the less educated people who are thinking of these thoughts who say, maybe we can compromise on this. Maybe we can believe both and that both God is somehow involved and evolution also makes sense. And it's those people just haven't really thought through the consequences. Both scholars on both sides of the questions normally will choose one side or the other rather than trying to merge both of them together.
It was Darwin who, through his observation of the likenesses within species and then the likenesses of species across their boundaries, came to the conclusion that this likeness was evidence of a common ancestor evolutionarily. Does the Bible ever address the issue of likeness, and does it give a biblical explanation for the likenesses of creatures on this planet?
Yes, the Bible does give an answer to that question. It talks about how God created human beings in his own image. And this, that the fact that there are likenesses then that are revealed throughout creation really shouldn't surprise us very much. The Bible also uses the imagery of a potter that makes pots. And I used to make pots when I was in high school and in college, and I know that the pots that I make have certain characteristics just because of who I am and what I like and my technique. And we shouldn't be surprised at all then to see that creation, which is the work of God, would share certain characteristics modified this way or that in different life forms. So yes, the Bible teaches that we have a common creator, which then implies that there are going to be common characteristics in what he creates. Whereas Darwin saw those commonalities and said, instead of a common creator, the only thing that makes sense is that there's a common ancestor.
So a Christian who says, look, I want to have a peaceful coexistence between what I want to believe in terms of evolution and what the Bible says to me in terms of God's simple creation of the world out of nothing by nothing more than his word. You said that this is a hope and an aspiration. Is it possible?
It really isn't. Here's a quotation that says it better than I could say it, and this comes from a person who believes in Darwinistic evolution. He says that according to this symbol, and he believes in this symbol, we are no better than chickens, redwoods, fireflies, earthworms, goldfish, algae, or infectious salmonella. That is the logical position that a Darwinist needs to take. Whereas, of course, according to the Christian teaching found in the Bible, God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and really elevates mankind as the crown of his creation. And it's mankind that Christ came to seek and to save. And the Bible also tells us that Christ will transform our lowly bodies so they will be like his glorious body. There's another likeness that the Bible teaches. We're going to be like Jesus Christ at our death. And that's much, much different from being like infectious salmonella.
Then finally, let's come back to those two fish, the Darwin fish and the Jesus fish. Christians may have lost the real meaning of this symbol. It was born in a time of Christian persecution with only about a minute here. Talk about the meaning for the historic Christian church of the fish that so many Christians have put on the back bumpers of their cars.
Historically, that sign was used to as a sort of a secret handshake, so to speak, to allow Christians to identify fellow believers. One traveler would make an arc in the sand, another traveler would complete the arc and go through it at one point, making a primitive sign of a fish, and by that they knew they were Christians, because the Greek word for fish is ichthus, and if you take each of those letters as the beginning of a word, it can spell out Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. So they thought something about the fish could identify them with Jesus and with their salvation. That's a way they could identify themselves without fear, then, of being martyred for their faith. In modern times, that symbol has been used in a more evangelistic way to say, I'm a Christian, don't you want to be one, a Christian like me? And it's that evangelistic use that's more common today rather than the self-preservation from martyrdom.
Dr. Nathan Jastrom is professor and chairman of the Department of Theology at Concordia University, Wisconsin. He's authored an article in a recent edition of Higher Things magazine titled A Tale of Two Fish. By the way, you can find out more about this magazine for high school-aged youth. It's called Higher Things on the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Look for a link to Higher Things magazine. Dr. Jastrom, thanks for your time.
Well, thank you for the interview.
Tomorrow on the program, we're going to discuss Senator Barack Obama's abortion extremism. Dr. Robert George will be our guest. Two thoughts there. Isn't it amazing that the very God who made us in his image, just the way he says he did in those first couple chapters of Genesis, the very God who made us in his image would, out of love for his fallen rebellious creatures, send his son in our likeness that we might again share in that image? You know what that fish really was, declaring Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior? It was a Christian creed, a confession of faith in Jesus. We'll be right back with Dr. John Ward Montgomery.
Noted author and history professor Dr. Paul Meyer on the uniqueness of Issues Etc.
I'm delighted not only to listen to Issues Etc., but also to have the privilege of being on the program from time to time. Issues is never afraid to take a stand on the thorny, vexing issues that clutter our daily horizons. And it does so in the name of a solidly based Christianity that doesn't flirt with fads or fantasies. Whereas some Christian programs sidestep ethical and doctrinal questions in our day, Issues takes them head-on in a fearless, responsible, thoughtful manner. Both head and heart are involved when Issues applies Holy Scripture.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a gift today. Donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
So what's the fad du jour at your church? Beth Moore, Rick Warren, post-emergent, pre-emergent, or some other move of the spirit that hasn't quite hit you yet? At the Brothers of John the Steadfast, we're kicking it old school. And by old school, I mean the 1580 Book of Concord. Check out our website for a list of confessional study groups, or if you have one at your congregation, you can let us know. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. Issuesetc.org.